I'm like, Judy, this is really strange. I feel like I should be saying my next speaker tonight is... We're going to be in the book of Numbers in chapter 13. That was the first time that I heard that story about Judy getting lost. But it does not surprise me. She was driving one time and she called me and she was kind of panicked and she says, I think I took a wrong turn. And I said, well, do you see any signs or anything? And she said, well, there's a sign coming up. And I said, what does the sign say? And she says, the city of Hondo. I said, I think you need to turn around. Let's look at Numbers in chapter 13. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to pick it up at verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land wherein thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before the Lord and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. But the people that went up against him said that, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Chapter 14 and verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the messages in this conference so far. Lord, we pray that you continue to have your blessings upon us as we meet this week. Lord, we are gathered together in order to remind ourselves and strengthen each other in this whole idea of world evangelism. And Lord, we just tell you that we have a sincere desire to follow you and to do what you want us to do and to be part of your great work. But we do have many distractions and many infirmities, and we can't do this without you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Amen. Please be with us this week. Amen. Please be with us and touch our hearts and our minds and give us the things that we need to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would like to say that I am truly grateful not only for the years that we've been able to serve here. I gave my testimony on the 50th anniversary, so if you want to listen to that, that's on YouTube, I believe. So I'm not going to go back and do that. But I just want to thank you for the vote of confidence that you gave us. Two things would have kept me from going to Poland. Number one would have been this church, and number two would have been my wife. When Alyssa passed away, Judy got very sick and she was in the hospital, and so she spent a little bit of time recovering and getting strong again. And I had told her, I said, "Look, honey," I said, "you've been taking care of Alyssa for 25 years. I said, I'm going to tell you that you have the right to do whatever you want to do with the rest of your life. The only requirement is you stay married to me." Well, obviously, right? Attached to that, hopefully stay in the same church that I go to. But I told her, I said, "Look," I said, "you can pretty much do whatever you want. You want to get a job? You go get a job. You want to go to school? I'll pay for it. You know, you can go to school. You want to hang out and just be a woman of leisure? Then you can be a woman of leisure. It doesn't, you have that choice. I'm going to give you the right to do whatever you want to do. And I'll try never to say no, just to give you a good life." And so that went real good. And she did. She obeyed that and she became a woman of leisure. And then she was a nanny to Rocky for a while. And she pretty much did whatever she wanted to do. And then that's when I sprung on her. I said, "Honey," I said, "what about going to Poland?" If she would have said no, I wouldn't have gone and I wouldn't have blamed her. Because I'm not going to go without my helpmeet. I'm not going anywhere without my helpmeet. But she thought about it for a while, and it was maybe, I don't know, a month or so. It seemed like an eternity waiting for her to make a decision. She said, "Brian," she said, "if I didn't say yes, I think I'd regret it for the rest of my life. So my goal in going to Poland is to make sure that she is blessed and pampered and taken care of. And so you pray for us as we go. Also, I was not going to go without the blessing of my local church. If the elders had said, "Brian, that is not a good idea," then I'm not going. I'm not going alone. I believe in the local church. I believe there's a pattern in the New Testament that the local church sends out missionaries. And if the church said for some reason, "Look, we don't feel like you're qualified to go," then I would have stayed and continued to work here. But thankfully, the elders said, "Brian, do what's on your heart." And for that, I'm very grateful and thankful. And then I'm thankful that you guys agreed and you guys have decided to support us with prayers. And for that, my prayer is that we would be worthy of your confidence. This is the Lord's work. It's not ours. And I realize that, you know, we're not young men, but we're not old yet. Because I can look at some people in this church and say, "I ain't old yet."
Amen.
I still got it, though. Gray or not, it's still up there. I still run a comb over my hair every day, and I say, "Thank you, Lord."
Amen.
But Judy and I have set our face like a flint, and it's our desire to go. And any chance of backing out is now out of the picture, because my name is on the refrigerator magnet now that Joe made. So we are committed. All right. So in this passage right here, I'll try to be brief in describing it, because I'm sure many of you have read this passage right here. Very famous passage. We many times call it the story of the 10 spies, is what I've heard it called. And it's always interesting when somebody calls it the story of the 10 spies, because there are actually 12 spies. And 10 of them were naysayers. 10 of them were doomsdayers. 10 of them didn't have enough faith to be able to do what God called them to do. But two did. And if you want just a synopsis of what the dynamics are in this particular meeting that they were having, you can look again at verse 30. And Caleb stood up and said, "We are well able to overcome it." They were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, displace the inhabitants, take over the cities. This is going to be a military operation, and it wasn't going to be easy. And Caleb said, "We can do it." Joshua was right up with them and said, "Look, we can do it. But 10 of them said in verse 31, we be not able. And so you kind of see the dynamics here. You kind of see what's going on. And if you look at it, and both of them had an assessment on the difficulties that lie ahead. And I would tell you that it is very wise to assess your situation. It was not wrong for them to go and send spies into the land to see what they were dealing with. Very wise to find out who's where the strong cities are, where the points are, and so that they could make an accurate plan on how they were going to conquer this thing. And but if you notice the difference is that in verses 28 and 29, when Caleb is talking, he has a pretty realistic expectation of what's going on. And he was honest. And man, we've got to be honest. You know, and I appreciate when these missionaries come up, the honesty of what you said today. You know, what you were talking about. We could sugarcoat it and kind of twist the dynamics and kind of downplay certain things and upplay certain things and make it seem like it's a real positive deal. But you're very honest. And you said, look, this is what we're dealing with. This is Mexico and, everything has changed and so we have to have a realistic expectation of what's going on. And so Joshua did. I mean, not Joshua, I'm sorry, Caleb. But if I interchange Caleb and Joshua, they were together. They were the same mind on that. But these 10 spies, notice how they, and there was an evil report, by the way. And they said, the land where we should have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Can you see? It's just so dark, so negative, so impossible. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. You know, one of the occupational hazards of preaching and public speaking just in general is exaggeration. I know that you've never heard any of us ever exaggerate whenever we've told a story. But, you know, there is the tendency to twist things in order to promote our own agenda. Have you noticed that in politics? In politics, people talking about things and they will not necessarily outright lie, but they will definitely make things to support their own agenda. And so these 10 spies had an evil agenda already. You can tell they were extremely discouraged. They had no idea that, I mean, that there wasn't any hope within them that there was any possibility that they could do this that God called them to do. And so I want you to notice that. I want you to notice that there's a stark difference in someone who has faith in him looking at the situation and someone that does not have faith and he looks at the same situation. I had a poem. It was written in the front of my Bible. I don't know if it's in this one, but it was in one that I had a long time ago. And it said, it's a very simple one, and it said, two men looked through bars. One saw mud, one saw stars. Isn't that simple? But it illustrates perfectly someone who has faith in God and someone who doesn't have faith in God. And so I want you to see that dynamic. And I want you to see that there's a real difference. You've got to be careful of making sure that your assessment is going to be realistic. There is nothing wrong with listing the difficulties and understanding the difficulties, but don't let that stop you. There are some difficulties that have been pointed out to me by several, and by the way, I am not the first one to go to Poland. Many have gone before me, and so I know that it's possible, you know, and it's good. But people have told me, brother, you know, it's cold. Yeah, I know. I lived in Alaska. I know. I slept in the snow in Alaska. I know. I was in Germany. I know, I understand, it's cold, but you know what? Faith says you can put on a coat. No big deal. Put on a coat, you know? That's what coffee shops are for. It gets too cold, duck into a coffee shop. There's nothing wrong with that. They told me that the language is hard. And at first I was like, Can't be that hard. Yeah, it is hard. I'll bring an evil report on the language in a minute. It is very hard. But I'll tell you this, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I could name names of people that speak Polish now that I wouldn't have thought could speak Polish. And I'm not going to mention any names, but others have learned Polish. So yeah, we can learn Polish. It shouldn't stop us. I know that I have a DOS brain in an AI world. I understand that.
Amen.
But somebody said that the culture is strange. The culture's strange. Yeah, it not really though. I almost kind of felt at home. And every third elderly lady looked like my grandma. Here in San Antonio, I go into a store, I have to find someone that speaks English. Over there, everybody's white. I'm with my people, okay? Yeah, culture's strange, but we can adapt. Finances are uncertain, that's true, but God can provide.
Amen.
Not a problem. Judy was fully on board once she found out that we can get avocados and jalapenos, rice, and tomato sauce. She's going to be okay. She's going to be all right. Somebody said that I'm too old to go. Colonel Sanders was about my age when he started KFC. Huh? Enough said. Couldn't think of any religious examples. So you can see the difference. You can see that, hey, Caleb saw all the same things the other guy saw. He just had a so different attitude towards the difficulties because he said, we're able to do it. Now, was he so confident in his own strength, in his own ability to be able to lead his men and to coordinate the battle that he says, man, this is a piece of cake? No, I don't think any military man going into conflict has that kind of confidence. No, you are, there are so many variables, so many different things, but I will tell you this, that he had a confidence that had to do with faith.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about that real quick. I would say that you should also not expect that God's going to give you anything without any effort.
Amen.
Many people don't even try to serve the Lord because they think it's going to be easy and it all comes to you naturally. It does not come easy. It doesn't come naturally. First 5 years I was pastoring, it was like I was in a fog, you know. I was just kind of wandering around trying to figure out what this job is all about and how to counsel people and how to preach. And I remember many times Lyndall being so frustrated and he said, boy, you can't preach your way out of a wet paper bag. Thank God for men that tell it like it is. He was not like, oh, bless you, my son, you know. No, I thank God for Lyndall and for other men that helped mentor me. If you look at the same chapter there in verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe their men you shall send a man. So what did God say? God said, I'm going to give you this land. Give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. But what happened when they crossed the Jordan? It was a fight. They were not only dealing with the complexity of overcoming this place, but they were also having to deal with sin in the camp. They were having to deal with failure, and they had insurmountable problems. You look at the Canaan War and what the children of Israel had to go through, and some of them for years were battling the inhabitants of the land trying to possess what God had given to them. I will tell you this, that we need to understand that anything having to do with missions is not going to come without effort. You look at those things. I am so incredibly impressed, you know, at the years that Brent and Joe spent working on that Bible. And I remember the years.
Yeah.
I remember him coming back and being hunched over a computer for a certain number of hours. I would go visit them. I've visited Poland on many occasions, and I saw what they went through, and it was no joke. But you know what? Anything worthwhile is going to take some effort. Amen. Have you ever tried to win somebody to the Lord? And they just blew you off, and then you went back again, and they didn't understand you. Look at the ones who went and talked to Judy. They didn't understand her. When I first heard the gospel, it was like a foreign language. I didn't understand. I didn't know. If they would have just gave up and said, Brian will never get saved, then I would have never gotten saved. But I'm telling you, world evangelism is going to take everything we've got.
Amen.
This is like that pig in that illustration. This is total commitment, man. This is not just a token. This is a total commitment, and it takes each and every one of us. I would sit at my grandmother and grandfather's feet and hear stories of them talking about World War II. My grandfather had flat feet, so he never was able to participate in the war. But back home, I remember that they had their victory garden. Back home, they were saving tin foil. They would have a piece of gum, and they'd save the tin foil on the gum. And they would can things, and they would do everything they could, and they were supporting the war effort. Do you know that this is a battle?
Amen.
And it takes every man on station. It takes everybody doing their part. Yeah, God's going to give us the heathen for inheritance like he told. But it's not going to come without a cost. You think Elizabeth Elliot's husband and his companions thought that things were going to be easy when they went to the Aka Indians? And I know that they had their naysayers that said, yeah, they never should have gone. They were stupid. Well, who knows? Eternity will tell that. But they lost their lives. And later on, Elizabeth Elliot went into the same tribe that murdered her husband. You talk about heroes of the faith.
Amen.
That takes guts, that takes courage, and won the man to the Lord that put the arrow in her husband's heart. Wow. Yeah, God's going to give us the land. God's going to give us what he has designed for us, but it's going to take effort. This takes everything that we've got as a local church. And God has not given this local church the whole entire world. We have our parts. Other local churches have had opportunities in other parts of the land. And maybe God will give us more somewhere else. But right now it seems like God has us in these places. And it needs your prayers. Do you realize that? Do not ever underestimate the importance of prayer in praying for your missionaries. I remember an elderly lady, Mrs. Anderson, and she was in a what do they call that? Had a major stroke. She very, very bright woman, real estate tycoon and everything, but the only thing she could do is move her finger a little bit. And they would talk to her like a baby in the nursing home. Oh, Mrs. Anderson, how are you today? And I looked at her one day and I said, don't you feel doesn't it make you feel bad when they talk to you like a baby? And she went, She agreed with me, and I said, whoa. So I made her a letter chart.
Amen.
And took it to her, and she started spelling out. And I gave her a burden. At that time, that was about the time when Billy had jumped over a fence and beat up a woman. And so it looked like he was going to prison over it. And we were like, oh well. So we were praying. Oh yeah, we were praying. And she would want updates. I'd go and visit her before we get to talking about whether it was going to rain today or what she had for lunch. She wanted to know those updates. You know why? Because she was praying.
Amen.
And when a prayer got answered, she'd want another one. She said, give me something else. You know, a woman paralyzed can only move one finger and grunt. She was in the battle. She was in the battle. When it comes time to put the unit patch on, she can wear the patch. She's part of the war. She's part of the victory. Hey, what part are you playing, by the way?
Amen.
Oh, no, man, it's just so hard. 7 o'clock every night. Are you serious? You know, we got to get up in the morning and go to work. Amen. Well, so do the pastors.
Amen.
I don't, because I don't have a job right now. I'm sitting in my socks, and Judy's about 6:30 in the morning going to take care of Rocky, and I'm having, have a good day, honey. I pack her lunch and give it to her. And then I go back and read the book of Jeremiah for my devotion, you know, the whole book. But yeah, they got jobs in the morning. Do you realize that God's going to give us some things, but it's going to take everything we've got? I think Caleb knew that. Caleb knew it's, man, because he had a realistic assessment of the difficulties. He had a realistic assessment about how hard it is to start a church. They don't spring up over nothing. It takes work, effort, prayer, humiliation. It takes rededication. It takes guts and just, it takes everything you've got just to continue to work of God. If you asked us pastor, well, I'm not a pastor anymore. I resigned, but you ask these pastors how many times in their ministry they just wanted to quit and give up. I bet they would have more than one time where they were like, it's just not worth it. Give somebody advice, they do exactly the opposite, and then they blame you for the destruction in their life. No, I'm telling you, it's not going to come without a fight, and it's not going to come without opposition. It's not going to come without difficulty. And you should expect your faith to be tested if you're going to be in the work of God. You're going to need faith. You give to missions, that money is gone. You say, oh man, I just give God 100 and he's going to bless me with 1,000. No, that's not how it works. Amen. You give God 100, the 100 is gone.
Yes.
No, it's gone. It's done. It's finished. You're never going to see that money on this side of glory again. It's out of your budget. Do you know that that's a sacrifice? That's money that you could have spent on a hot dog at QT. You ain't going to spend it a hot dog on QT. Sorry. Been having hot dogs on QT on my mind all day for some. I am going to miss that. You wouldn't believe how much I'm going to miss that. Okay, so you get the idea. You get the idea. Several things. You shouldn't expect that this is going to be easy, that it's going to be without effort, or it's not going to take every single one of us doing our part. We shouldn't expect that there's not going to be people that are naysayers that say you shouldn't go, it's too cold, you're too old, whatever it is. You also should expect your faith, when you put it into practice, it's going to be tested. So get ready, because God wants to test your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So this is what I want to say, is that in this passage right here, we could actually tell this story in such a way that we could leave God out and turn it into a power of positive thinking kind of a deal. We could reframe the story a little bit and do a little Zig Ziglar and power positive thinking and let's rah, 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 we can do it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we're not here for a success motivation speech, are we? We're here to hear from God. And so I would say that this is like, this meeting right here was like a mission conference. They're looking at the land. They're looking at what God gave them. They're assessing the situation. They're trying to figure out where are the easy points, where's the choke points, where's the threats coming from. And so they give an assessment and they're making plans on how to conquer the land. That's a lot like a mission conference. And we're here doing the same thing. We've got our mission fields. We've got our plans. My plan and Judy's plan is to go to the Tri-City area where Magda and Corey live, and it's our desire to do everything we can to help start a church. We're not veteran missionaries. We don't know what we're doing. I know what it means to be a pastor. I don't yet know what it means to be a missionary. So we are apprentices again at an old age. but we know what we're going to do.
Amen.
And we're convinced that this is what God's called us to do, and we want to go do that. And so we're going to need that faith. We're going to need that courage. We're going to need that strength. But it goes even farther than that. Because it would be one thing for me to just say, you know what? Yeah, man, we're able. We're going to do this thing. But why would you say we are able? Why would you even say that? Here's the deal. Didn't God say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature?
Amen.
Brian, why are you going to Gdynia? You know, at work, all of my business associates, all of my employees, they would always want to know, why are you going to Poland? Oh, you're going to Poland to teach English. No, I'm not going to Poland to teach English. I might teach English if I need money, but I'm not going to Poland to teach English. I'm going to Poland to help start a local church.
Amen.
A local church saved my life. A local church changed everything, my entire trajectory. The people in a local church reached me. I got saved. I learned how to preach. I learned how to serve the Lord in a local church. A local church is a worthwhile work to be doing to establish local churches.
Amen.
And that's what I'm going to do. But that's not my idea. It wasn't Corey's idea. God told us to do this. God said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you understand that we can do this because God said, just like in chapter 1 and 2, it's God's idea for them to take over the land of Canaan. God was fed up with the idolatry in that land, and they were getting ready to displace him, and he wanted to set a nation in the middle of the heathen as a testimony to how he deals with men. It was God's idea to establish the nation of Israel. And it's God's idea to go into all nations and establish local churches. If that doesn't give you confidence, you can say, why are you here? Because God told me. Oh, did he tell you in a dream? No, he told me through his command. And this is what we're supposed to do. And we're also going because there's a need. Oh, there's a need. I mean, he says, hey, man, why don't you just go to another part of San Antonio and start a church? Because you can hardly go a block without seeing churches. Yeah, we could. We could. And thank God some of the brothers working over there in the Freeborn Church or in another part of town. And actually, truth be known, we have room in this city with this many people for 10 churches.
Yep.
So yeah, sure, we could do that. But we go where there's a need. And the need is actually universal. It's everywhere. You really can't pick a place and say, they don't really need the gospel here. No, they need the gospel everywhere.
Amen.
Also, he says there in Matthew chapter 9, doesn't he say, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labor? Actually, I'm going to misquote this. So Matthew in chapter 9, and you will probably hear this verse again before the end of the week. Verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We learned several things. Yes, this is God's idea. God told us to do this. The second thing is that the need outweighs the laborers. There is more work than there is laborers. If you have been an employer since the pandemic, then you understand the dynamic of what's going on here. During the pandemic, we had a hard time finding people that would be willing to risk death and destruction in order to come to work. You know, they believed the lie of our mayor and our district attorney, and that we're all going to die. Yeah, we are all going to die, but not all of us are going to die of COVID. The people dropped out of the workforce after COVID. It was tough. I used to be able to put an ad in the paper in the employment websites and get 20, 30 applications coming back, 20 or 30 resumes. Afterwards, one, maybe two. And they're applying for a position as a carpenter and a handyman, and they're a clerk typist or something else. You know, they're not even qualified. We understand that the work had, that there is more work than there are workers. That ought to tell you something that it's worthwhile to get in on. We need workers. God said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You talk about something that ought to give you confidence to say, you know what, we are able to go because our commander, our master, our Lord, the one who saved us from our sins, is wanting to send us into his harvest. He wants to send you to your family. I witness to my family. Boy, I tell you what, it's easier to preach on the streets than it is to witness to your family. And I would agonize and I would pray, and thank God some of my family members ended up getting saved. And I've got a younger brother that got saved as a direct result of Judy and I, and he's now a pastor in the church in New York in a little country church up there, and still serving the Lord and doing well. I'm telling you what, We have a job to do, and there are not enough people to do it.
Right.
Where there's a shortage of workers, maybe you need to jump in. We could use you. One of the reasons why I'm going to Gdynia is because it's just a practical job site decision. You got one side. You see that video of everybody lifting the wall? You know, they were lifting the wall. And you got 5-6 guys all, or probably more than that, lifting that wall. It takes that many. What if there was one guy on the other side, one guy lifting the wall? And he's got, hey, little help over here. Nah, we're good, you know. And we're holding up the wall with one finger because there's 10 of us, you know. Nah, we're good. We're all right. No, someone ought to get off that thing and go help him. And I kept praying. I said, Lord, raise up somebody to help Corey. Raise up somebody to help Corey. I think that's the one time I actually thought I heard the voice of God say, you big dummy. Okay, and final point is that in this work, the church is the only one qualified to do this. The Islamic religion has built incredible hospitals. They have, and they've done well. They've gone into places and they've built clinics and hospitals, and they can do that. Do you know that the lost world can go into a place and build a hospital? The lost world can go into a place and start a soup kitchen. The lost world can go into a place and do many different ministries. But what is the one thing that the church is qualified to do? And that's to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
There is nobody else doing this. It's only the church. If the church falls asleep, if the church gets distracted with the things of this world, if the church gets their eyes on anything other than the great commission that God has called them to do, the work is not going to get done. Those people in the hospital, yeah, it's they've got tremendous burdens. And no, you're not going to be able to assuage their burdens. But man, in desperation, many people call on the Lord. So they're giving them the one thing that they need.
Amen.
Of course, compassion too. Nothing wrong with compassion and meeting physical needs. There's nothing wrong with that. But the church is the one that's qualified to take the gospel to every creature. You're not going to find Shell Corporation going into Poland and establishing local churches. You're not going to find Coca-Cola going into foreign lands and establishing local churches.
Amen.
The only ones qualified to do that are the ones that have been given the commission by
Amen.
God
Amen.
To go into all the world. What if the men and the women that fought in the Pacific in World War II had looked at the insurmountable difficulties in front of them and said, you know what? It's not worth it. Too many of us are going to die. It's too hot. There are too many bugs in the jungle. It's just not worth it. We're not going to do it. We might be living in a very different world here today. You know what I think we need to do? We need to assess where we are in our life. You need to look where you are. What is your place in the gospel, in this great evangelistic work that God has given us to do, to take the gospel to every creature. Uncle Sam needs you. Was that old poster? Yeah. Well, God doesn't need you. God could do it by himself, but God invites you to be part of his work.
Amen.
I would say you ignore the naysayers, forget about the negativity, look at the possibility, what God could do through you, and then place yourself in the work of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.